So, the longest that anyone has been here is 2 years, because we've only been here for 2 years, which is amazing, but these 2 years are just kind of the next chapter in the story of the church that has been here for a while. If you are familiar with the story of how we began, Bethel was a church in this building for 85 years, or on this property. And in 2018 or so, God led Bethel to want to just move towards being a church that thought and acted like a church plant. And that's what brought me on board here. And in 2017, North Langley had their Vision 2017, where they wanted to plant another campus. And so they chose a planting pastor, Kevin. They put aside some funds. They got some people in it. And all these plans together. And it was amazing how God working at Bethel and God working in North Langley came together to produce this campus. And then people from South Langley and the neighborhood and other churches all came together for what we've been able to just enjoy for these last couple of years. So today, it's a funny Sunday because it's our birthday, and it's Thanksgiving, and it's a family Sunday, and it's a sermon series in First Love, and it's just a Sunday service. And so we're trying to combine all of these things into the same amount of time. And so for me, I would just want to look back with thankfulness on how God has brought us to this place, on what God has done. But particularly today, what I've been thinking about is how God has given so much grace through the people here, through the people that make this church, church. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how God has given us grace in all of those different ways. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, or if you want to use a Pew Bible, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and that's page 533, if you're using the Pew Bible. Now, before we read this morning, something just for you to know is that the word in the Bible for grace and gift is connected. Grace is charis, gift is charisma. And so it's what's called a result noun. And so grace produces the gift. So the gift is the result of the grace. So keep that in mind as we read Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is Paul's words to the church. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. So Paul here, he uses the analogy of a body. He says, in the same way that you have an eye, and you've got a leg, and you've got a stomach, and all of those things do different jobs, it's not on their own that they do it. The eye sees, the leg moves, the stomach digests, and working together, you have a healthy body. And in the same way, we have a church that no two of us are the exact same. Like, I've got two legs, but my right leg and my left leg, even they do something a little bit different. And so in the church, every single person has a gift. Nobody has all the gifts. Everybody has at least one, and it's working together that we see health, that we need each other, that you and I are different but equally needed in this body. But Paul says, when you think about your gifts, keep a couple things in mind. Number one, if you look at your gift and you think, I'm amazing, my gift is the best, and actually, God, I'm really thankful that you didn't gift me something lame like that guy over there. Paul's like, whoa, if that's your attitude, remember that this thing is a gift. It's from you. You didn't do this. So don't think too highly of yourself. But on the other hand, some people would say, well, I really wish I had that guy's gift over there. That my gift, it doesn't seem that good. It doesn't seem that flashy. It doesn't seem that interesting. And so here Paul would say, remember that your gift is from God. And God doesn't give junk. So remember it's a gift, but remember it's a gift from God. Don't think of yourself too highly. Don't think of yourself too lowly. How many people would say you know what your spiritual gift is? You know how God has gifted you. Okay. That's about 9 a.m. It was like 3 people. How many people think it's arrogant to put your hand up? No, actually, man, this is completely different than the 9 a.m. service. Sometimes people are like, you shouldn't put your hand up and say you have a gift. That, to say you have a gift, that's being proud. And I would say that knowing your gift isn't pride. Paul says if your gift is teaching or encouragement or giving, then do that thing. But if you don't know that that's your gift, how will you do that thing? And so it's not knowing the gift or having the gift that's pride. It's how do you view it? How do you talk about it? And so knowing your gift isn't pride. It's how you use it, how you talk about it. So for the rest of us, if we don't know what our gift is, we might have some questions. How do I know what my gift is? What do I do if I don't know what it is? How am I supposed to use it? What if it's scary? What if I'm not good at it? What if I get it wrong? What if things have already gone wrong? And what if I just can't find a place? What if I just can't find a way to use it? And these are lots of different questions, and they're all good, and we are going to unpack them, and we're going to start with a knife. So it was my birthday last month, and I got a knife for my birthday. I really wanted a new knife. I wanted a kitchen knife. I broke the last one, and so I asked for a new one. But has anyone here ever been into a knife store? Yeah, talking to knife stores, or sorry, talking to people in knife stores about knives, they start using words and things that I don't really understand. Like, they were talking about the bolster. This one has no bolster. This has got a half bolster. This has got a full bolster. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The carbon content and all of this stuff. And it got a little overwhelming, so I was intimidated to get it, but I did get it. And then I got it home and I realized this is the sharpest knife I have ever owned. And I'm not a professional chef. And so let me ask you a question. Now that it has been 6 weeks since my birthday, is it better that this knife is still in the box? Yes. Because what happens if you take it out? You could get cut. You could hurt yourself. You could hurt someone else. I'm sure that there are people, Steve, among others, that would really know how to use this knife. And so I'm not as good at this knife as probably Steve is. That's too much knife for you. And for a long time, I think I would have agreed with you that this knife is better in the box. It is better because it's safer, and that way you don't get it wrong. But what I've been learning is that just because a knife is sharp doesn't mean you have to be afraid of it. Just because it's sharp, it means you have to learn how to use it. And so I've been learning how to use my knife. Even got this little fancy don't cut yourself thing on it. I'm going to take that off. So this is my new knife. And I've been learning about it. I've been learning that some cuts you do up and down. Some cuts you kind of do a draw through. I've learned that you can use this part here because this has a half bolster. You can use this part here to peel the skin off an onion. How many people are getting a little nervous right now? But I've learned, you do the claw cut. You curl your knuckles, and then you protect your hand. I know. And so this is my knife, and I'm not the best at it, but I am learning how to use it. Let me show you. Emily, can you pass me that lemon, please? Thank you. So this is a lemon. If I leave my knife in the box, all I have is a lemon. It's an opportunity, but there's nothing I can do about it. Lemons are great, they're beautiful, but they're not much good like this. But if I take this lemon and I... Thank you. Wow! Yeah. These are available for sale after the service. But if I take this lemon and I cut it, and then I juice this lemon, and then I take my little cup of sugar water here, and I add the lemon juice, and then if I take a little garnish, so what I have here, oh, let me give it a little stir as well. Would anyone like a glass of lemonade? There's like 9 hands. Whoever comes normal. Holy, whoa, okay. I didn't expect that. At least the knife was over here. Now, a knife like this is dangerous. You can cut yourself with it. I did cut myself with it last week. It wasn't bad. Thank you, wow. But what I was doing is I was cutting a butternut squash there, and I did something that I learned you're not supposed to do. I reached across the knife with my left hand. So coming back, I caught my thumb on it. It's not bad, it's all healed. That was like just a couple days ago. But at that moment, if I had said, I got hurt, this knife is dangerous, I should put it back in the box, what we would have had today is lemon and that's it. But because I took the knife out, I used it. And what is this gift? The gift is cutting, but it's so much more than that. As a pastor, so much of my job is speaking and listening and reading and writing and conversations with people, and I love all of that. But this gives me an opportunity to use my hands. And I like creating with that. It gives me something that I can learn, that I've been watching videos and talking to people about how better to use this knife. It's something that I can do in response to an opportunity. Because using my knife like this means that when my wife gives me lemons, I can make lemonade. Yeah. We could just close now. And so this knife, it is cutting, but it's more than that. It's creating. It's learning. If someone here didn't know about the claw cut, maybe it's a little bit of teaching. It's something that I enjoy, and not just me. It's the opportunity to bless someone with a really good cup of lemonade, Maya. Yeah. And so it's not just me, and it's not just what it does. It's so much more than that. And our gifts, sometimes when we look at our gifts, we think it just is what it is. It's this little thing, and all it does is what we think it does. But it actually does so much more than that. In Romans, Paul talks about all kinds of gifts. And if you're like, well, that sounds all magical and distant and out there, and I don't really know how it plays into real life. Now imagine I took this knife, and I have to be careful here, and in demonstrating it, I cut myself now badly. What would you do? Faint? So some of us have the gift of fainting. But what would you do? Not hypothetically, not everybody. What would you be wired to do in that moment? Someone with the gift of mercy might run up and say, oh, are you okay? You're going to be fine. It's all going to work out. It's going to be okay. It's like, well, thank you, mercy. Leadership is going to run up and be like, somebody call 911. We need to keep calm. Somebody look for the ambulance. Let's go get the first aid kit. Who's got first aid? Like, well, thanks, leadership. You're going to have prophecy, and prophecy is going to come along and say, I knew you were going to do that. But this is an opportunity, and in the same way that the knife has cut you, so many of us receive wounds in different ways. And teaching is going to come along and be like, you got to curl the knuckles. See, your problem was is your fingers were too far out, and that's why you cut yourself. And you're like, well, thanks, teaching. And giving is going to come along and say, well, now you've got blood on the cutting board. Let me replace that. And actually, now this lemonade's no good. Let me run to the store and buy you some lemonade. And maybe some knife skill classes, too, to help you learn how to do this. And so these gifts show up in response to a need. And you might think, well, that's just what normal people do, and that's what people do because God has gifted them. That is God's grace at work in your life. And when you identify and use your gift, it turns back into grace for me. See, that's what this is. It's a potluck of grace where everybody has a gift, a passion, an ability, something that God has given you. And when you use it, it turns back into God's grace extended to everyone else. We have been given something from God to use to bless each other. And that's what it means that we are the church. See, for a long time, I felt like in my relationship with God that he just wanted to take things away. That it's like, I can't do this, and I'm not supposed to do that, and I have to stop this, and I have to stop. And I just felt like God was taking things from me. But in hindsight, when I look back, so many of the things that he was taking were things that were selfish, self-destructive, and would not have turned out for my good. And instead, what God has given me, especially as we're talking about spiritual gifts, is the ability to understand how he has wired me, what he has created me to be, why he has placed me here. And so there's these moments and these times, the better I understand it, that I can stand there and I say, this is exactly what God has put me here on the earth to do. The understanding this, its significance, it's understanding that we're giving God's grace into the world. It's not just the gift, it's what it does. Now, Romans, it mentions encouragement. And it was maybe about a month or two ago, we got this in the mail. It just says, NLCC, Aldergrove, BC, Canada. There's not even a stamp on there, no envelope. It just showed up. And it's addressed to the church. And the church isn't the staff. The church isn't the people on stage. The church is us. So, dear church, I have a letter for you this morning. Dear church, I love the way you've built up a nice, safe community. Church is one of the highlights of my week. Thank you for making my life and other lives better. From an attender of the church, thank you, church. This letter is for you, because you're the church. Now, this letter is an encouragement. It's meaningful words given at a time, but is that all it is? I think it's more than that. I think what it does is it reminds us of the significance of every interaction. It reminds us that the things that seem unseen are actually seen by people. It reminds us of why we do what we do, that we're impacting lives. And so what we did is we actually took that letter, photocopied it, and now there's one of these on every desk in the office. And so it's just this beautiful little reminder. So encouragement, it's nice words, but it's so much more than that. It's reminders to keep going when things are tough. And so, because today is a family Sunday, we're actually going to have someone share a moment. So Isaac mentioned that we don't want to applaud for kids just because they're kids. It kind of creates a performer-observer dynamic where it's like, oh, they did such a good job. What we want to do is applaud for them because they're part of the church. So let's welcome them.
So, my friend, this is Jonas. Jonas, what's your deal, man? Where are you at in life?
I'm in grade 5, so I'm just having fun in kids ministry and stuff.
That's awesome. So you're almost a K-5 alumni.
Yeah.
Cool. So when I was asking your parents about you, something stuck out, a story that I think has happened multiple times about you at school and something about people telling you things about their life and you remembering that. Do you want to talk a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, I really like remembering things about like my teachers and my friends and then like asking them like how it went a day after or like the weekend after and just like helping them out.
Yeah, absolutely. So when somebody tells you something about their life and then you follow up on that in the future and ask them about it, how do you think that makes them feel?
Like special and like actually like somebody cares about them.
Absolutely. I would fully agree with that. I think that's really cool, Jonas. Thanks for sharing that, man.
No problem.
Awesome. Thank you, Jonas. So Paul doesn't mention the gift of remembering something someone said and talking to about it the next day. But is that a gift? I would say it is. And is the remembering only remembering? I think the remembering is remembering, but it does so much more than that. I think that, Jonas, to remember like that, it communicates significance to someone, that what they say is important, that who they are is important. There's a sense that they are seen and known. And so something that seems maybe small in the moment is incredibly significant and powerful. So our gifts are so much more than just gifts. They do so much more than what they just do. They are God's grace turned into gifts, and when used, they turn grace back into the world. But it's not about just these walls, as Jonas just exampled so very well. It's not just about doing it in these walls. It's about relationships. It's about home and school and work and when we're driving. Anywhere we have relationship is where these gifts are meant to be used. Not just these walls. Anywhere there's relationship. Now, if you don't know what to do. If you listen to all this and you're like, this sounds great, but I don't actually know if I have a gift, let me clear that up for you. You do. Next point. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This means everyone has a gift. Nobody has all of them. Nobody has none of them. Everybody has something. And when we work together, we see the body at work. So what are we supposed to do with these gifts? Well, 1 Corinthians 14 says, eagerly desire them. 2 Timothy 1 says, fan into flame the gift of God. That means to nurture it, to take care of it, to learn how to use it, to stoke it. And in Romans, as we read this morning, if you have a gift, you use it. If you have teaching, you teach. If you have giving, you give. If you have encouragement, you encourage. If you have it, you use it. So we desire them, we nurture them, and we use them. But what if you don't know your gift? Well, first, you can pray and say, hey, God, you created me. You've wired me. What do you think my gift is? You can just reflect and observe. When do you feel like you come alive? Where do you gravitate to on a Sunday morning? If I cut my finger and you know what you would do, maybe that's your gift. Sometimes it's just a need that you observe. If you're like, hey, you know what we should do as a church? We should da-da-da-da-da. What you just said might be your gift because you see it as a valid need. And so look at how you respond and what you gravitate to. Talk to other people. Sometimes what's fuzzy for us is clear for them. Or you can just try something. Has anyone seen Johnny English? It's like James Bond meets Mr. Bean. It's a phenomenal movie. But if you've watched Johnny English or any spy movie, they kind of set up the whole, here's the problem. Now, Johnny English, you're going to need to go and talk to the gadget guy. Now, for me, I love the gadget guy scene. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Anyone else, that's like gadgets are your favorite scene? Yeah. And what's interesting is if you watch a movie like this, the gadget scene is kind of foreshadowing for the rest of the movie. If they're like, okay, here's a flying car, here's a ring that puts someone to sleep, and here's like a bulletproof napkin. You're like, okay, that seems weird. But you know if you keep watching the movie, at some point he's going to have to put someone to sleep with the ring. He's going to have to drive the flying car, and he's going to have to use the bulletproof napkin. And you know he's going to use it because he has it. And he has it because he's going to use it. And so sometimes if we don't know what our gift is, we just try something and we're like, what? The car flies? And we just discover that this is the gift that God has put inside of us for this moment. And part of us that has felt dead and dormant all of a sudden comes alive. And you're like, this is why I'm on this earth. And it's that sense of like, okay, God, this is how you've wired me. So you can pray. You can learn and reflect, you can ask, you can talk to someone. So the question isn't whether, but how God has gifted you. Now, as you use your gifts in all of this, Paul says in Romans 12, 9, that we should be motivated by love and that our love should be sincere. The very next verse, to all of these things, all of these gifts that we just read, Paul says, let your love be sincere. So, sometimes we find that place where we know our gift and we're using it and it's going well and our love is sincere. And sometimes it's more challenging than that. See, at the heart of God's gifts, 1 John 14:6, it says there's different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so our gifts are meant to be God in us, through us, not just do better, try harder. God working through us. In John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Jesus said, abide in me and you will bear fruit. It's that straightforward, that as we abide in Jesus, that we bear fruit. So sometimes if we're not seeing the things we hope to see in our lives, we take a look and say, well, what does our abiding look like? And in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we read this verse, and sometimes we think what that means is Jesus is giving us an easy chair. He's just giving us a place to recline and rest and relax, but a yoke is what you would put on an animal so that they could do work out in the field. So Jesus isn't saying, don't do anything. He's saying, learn from me how to do the things I've called you to do, because it's supposed to feel easy. It's supposed to be light. God at work in us and through us, it's not supposed to be just a grind. And so when we experience it like this, that these gifts of God at work in us are coming because we abide in Jesus, and it's easy and it's light, there's something beautiful as we see God's grace in the world, but it's not always like that. Maybe for you, you're doing something and it started to feel like a burden, starting to feel like a routine or an obligation. Maybe you've done something or tried to do something and you've been burned, you've been hurt. Maybe for you, your season just doesn't feel right. Oftentimes what I hear people say is, I'm too old or my kids are too young. So all of this spiritual gift stuff is great, but I'm too old or my kids are too young. And so I just don't know if this is for me. And maybe you're burned out. Maybe you just have nothing left in the tank. And if that's the case, I think if we go back to the image of Paul talking about how the church is like a body, imagine your eyeballs tomorrow morning. You woke up and your eyeballs are like, I have been looking for years now. And I'm done with this. I'm just going to take a break. And then your leg, you go to get out of bed and your leg is like, hey, remember that time we got hurt? Yeah, I'm not going to work anymore either. And then your stomach's like, hey, that gluten part? I don't want to do that part anymore. And all of a sudden, you're starting to experience these things. And some of you are like, yeah, no, that is my life. And when it happens, we know that it's not a sign of health. It's not supposed to be that way. And so what we do is we do surgery, and we change our diet, and we go to physiotherapy, and we stretch, and whatever we can, because the body isn't supposed to be like that. The body is supposed to be healthy with every part working. And so maybe this morning, if you have been burned out, maybe it's a chance to reevaluate boundaries. Take a look at why you're doing what you're doing, to take a look at how much you're doing. Maybe it's a chance to hear this invitation from Jesus saying, come, abide with me. Learn from me. I've got a different way of doing things that feels much, much easier than the way you're doing it. Maybe you've been burnt. Maybe you've been hurt. And sometimes if you've been hurt, you would take the gift and you just think it's better back in the box, that it's just safer. And I have to be honest, I have hurt people standing up here with what I've said. And so there is a deep part of me that stands here very, very afraid that I'm going to get it wrong or that I'm not going to get it right. And part of me wants to just put it back in the box and leave it like that because I think safer is better. But in the same way, when you use the knife, you know where the band-aids are. When we use our gifts, we know what it means that we might need to ask forgiveness or forgive, that we reconcile, that we make amends. And so we don't pull back. Maybe if we've been burned, what Jesus is calling us to is forgiveness and reconciliation. And maybe if you feel too old or your kids are too young, I would say remember that gifts are designed for relationship and not necessarily these four walls. And so if you have a newborn, maybe mercy is just showing mercy to a crying child. Maybe you're teaching them how to make toast. If you're older, maybe encouragement is just calling someone, saying, hey, I was thinking about you. Maybe it's not a season where you're involved in the building, but maybe you're involved in family or speaking with encouragement to people who come into your home. So a different season doesn't mean you're done. It just means it looks different. So I'm going to invite the band up. And I want to open the opportunity for prayer. We've got a prayer team over on this side here, and as well in the back room there. And so if you'd like prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you. If you don't know what your gift is, actually, before we switch to the music, we've got 400 people here on a Sunday morning, like between the two services. We've got about 400 people. How many people think we've got, if you put your hands up, 50 or more involved? Do we have 50 people or more involved on a Sunday, or in our church? 50 or more. Okay. Keep your hands up if you think it's 100 or more. Keep your hands up if you think 150 out of 400. They lost a lot of you. How many people think 200 out of 400? More than 200. How many people think 250 out of 400? A couple? Anyone got 300 out of 400? You got some faith. 350? 400? Oh, man, that's our goal. 400's our goal. Our actual is 260. Which is amazing. That's 260 people involved. And that's not just on a Sunday morning. That is involved in worship and prayer and youth and hospitality and young adults and outreach and all of that stuff. But then when you also think about people using their gifts at home and at school and at work, it's so much more than that. And so if you don't know your gift, we would like to get those numbers up to 400. I know some of you are babies, literally, and so that's okay. We'll just wait a little bit. But otherwise, if you've got a gift and you don't know what it is, we'd love to pray with you. If you feel burned, we'd love to pray with you. If you feel burned out, we'd love to pray with you. And if you feel like your season has shifted and you just don't know what it means to use your gifts anymore, we'd love to pray with you as well. So we'll have a prayer team at the back or on the side over here.